The words chosen for this morning are found in the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians, the first verse and following. Let a man consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. Congregation will be seated. Today, in the Christian church year, we remember St. Augustine of Hippo. Interestingly enough, the church honors the great heroes of faith, not on the day of their birth, as we might expect, but on the day of their death, their translation or birth into the new and glorious existence of heaven. Augustine of Hippo, who lived from 354 to 430 AD in North Africa, is one of the most interesting of the church fathers. He lived, we say, a riotous youth. In other words, he wasn't the best college student, to say the least. But through the endless prayers and example of his mother Monica, he was brought back to the faith, becoming one of the greatest theologians of the church. His spiritual odyssey is found in his confessions. As he neared the end of his life, the barbarian Vandals were at the gates of his city in Hippo. The world as he knew it was falling apart, kind of like we feel like once in a while. And yet what did he do? He didn't just give up. No, he kept on serving his parish and writing and correcting his books until the day he died. Just days after his death, the city was overrun, and all that remained of his life's work were the souls in his ravaged parish that went home to glory and his manuscripts. Doesn't seem like much, does it? And yet through those manuscripts, he has influenced Christians in every age, including our own. He was a faithful steward, as this text encourages, an example pastor for our seminarians to follow. He fed the flock of God with the mysteries of God, and those mysteries are the Word and the Sacrament. We're going to think about two pictures of this man this morning to help us understand him a little better. The first one is Augustine sitting in his study, surrounded by his books. Probably they were manuscripts, not books. And there was no computer, by the way. And he is working on a particular paper, meditating on the Word. That's the first one. The second one is Augustine sitting in the middle of the great cathedral in Hippo, expounding the Word of God, feeding his flock. Now that first picture, as is the case with St. Augustine, you're going to, in your work at seminary, read a lot of books. It's going to entail spending time in your study. And when you pack up all those books to leave the seminary, don't think the studying is over. Dr. Mattson, who is one of the synodical fathers of our church body, uses this interesting picture in his homiletical studies. He says, if you come into a parsonage where the carpet is threadbare in front of the mirror, pray for that preacher. But if you come into a parsonage where the carpet is threadbare beneath the desk, have that preacher pray for you. Now, that doesn't mean that preachers shouldn't be well-groomed and look decent, as I nag about occasionally. But it tells us the importance of reading and studying and meditating on the Word of God. The pastor must be contemplating on the Word in the same way that you have Mary of Bethany sitting there and hearing the word of God. Unless that's the case, your sermons are going to be, as Jeremiah says, broken cisterns rather than the well of salvation. The pastor will continue to use the word throughout his life. And yet it isn't enough to just do the first picture. Sit in your study and study. The second picture. You have Augustine. They didn't have pulpits that stand up, and I just about fall when I get up here. You didn't have pulpits in Hippo, but rather the pastor sat right about there in a chair. The people were a little bit lower. The nave was a little lower, and he expounded the word to them there. That's the second point. He was a faithful steward of word and sacrament to his people. He not only loved the word, he loved the souls in his care. And that's the second important thing, that you will reach out to all those around you in need with the gospel of salvation. And that gospel, that message, includes two things, both law and gospel. The law must be so preached in every Lutheran sermon so that every person in the assembly, first of all, regardless of how self-righteous we tend to be at times, feels the fire of hell. And the gospel must be so preached that the most burdened sinner feels the joy of salvation. The heart of each one of us here this morning needs to be crushed by the law of God so that we don't proudly say, you know, I've lived a pretty good life. I'm the head of the seminary. You can't get much more holy than that, can you? We need to realize that we need the law placed right in front of us so that I see that I often put money and pleasure before the one true God, so I'm almost worshiping them rather than God, that we profane his holy name and holy word by neglecting it, and that in our hearts there's bitterness, hatred, and anger against those around us. And realize that those things are damning sins. We all need to feel the fire of hell this morning. And then, you can't leave the parish there. But the sweet message of the gospel has to be proclaimed. That there is hope in our lost condition. Jesus left heaven's high throne, think about it, and became poor and lowly, so that we could live in heaven forever. He took our place, living the life we were to live. And then, the other picture that isn't there this morning, he died on the cross in your place, in my place. Each one of us belongs on that cross for all eternity. But he did it for us. That's the wonderful message that is brought to us in the means of grace, the word and sacrament, and it's only that message that gives comfort and strengthening in this life, and the certainty of eternal life. That's the wonderful message that those in the public ministry proclaim. And therefore, this morning, as I do every year, I want to encourage every young man here to consider the preaching and teaching ministry of our Evangelical Lutheran Church. I want to encourage every young lady here to consider the teaching ministry, feeding the little lambs in our congregations. It's the most important work there is because we give that which gives hope in this life and the hope for the life to come. If full-time service in the Lord's kingdom is not possible for us right now, then don't think there's nothing I can do. Rather, share the good news of Jesus Christ with all those around you. What an opportunity you have. You've met just a load of new people in the last couple of days. Let them know what is the most important thing in your life, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, so that they can have the same comfort and joy that you do. The message of Jesus as the Savior. The dear Lord Jesus this morning is calling for each of us here to tell others about Him. The one who laid down His life for the sheep is calling for pastors and teachers. As St. Augustine of old, as he used St. Augustine's life, he is calling for you. Let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do, while the souls of men are dying and the Master calls for you. Take the task He gives you gladly. Let His work your pleasure be. Answer quickly when He calleth. Here am I. Send me. Send me. Amen.